Numbers 10 as a starting point to kind of refresh where we were last Sunday. Almost, God almost got me over there. We were like that close, just, you know, kind of getting nudged over. I really wanted to get really nerdy with you guys tonight and go to Acts chapter 17, but we will do that Wednesday. So if you really want to miss a service, maybe Wednesday will be it. No, I'm just kidding. What I wanted to do is kind of segue from this morning service into it this evening, because it was only like a 3-minute sermon, so I'm going to put some more meat to the bones of that one. What it really came down to is where Paul goes, he goes to the Greeks and he sees all of these different idols, and he's convicted by his Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to speak up. And he goes into the marketplace of ideas. Amen? And I'm kind of preaching the message now if y'all didn't know. But he goes into the marketplace of ideas, and I thought, wow, it's amazing. Like, Jesus was so new. There's not a lot of people that have been converted to Christianity, and the message has not went very far at all. And he goes to the place where gods and everybody's just sitting around listening to the newest thing coming in, right? Now you think of this today, there's all kinds of worship, all kinds of religions. And we as believers in Christ kind of think like everybody already knows about Jesus. And we kind of think this way, they already know about Jesus, so they've already kind of made up their mind one way or the other, right? Or we think of, well, they might be Mormon, or they might be Catholic, or they might be this. So I don't even know if they want to hear what we got to say. Is that fair? You know what Paul said? Y'all are worshiping a whole bunch of things. The moon, the stars, the sun, all kinds of different kinds of God. You know what he did? He walks right into the public square and he says, you almost got it right. Everything that you're worshiping was created by one God. Amen? And his son died for you on an old rugged cross not long ago. Amen? And he said, and some of you, I'm kind of preaching the mess. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm getting away with it. Some of your poets have almost sung about him and sung about the things that he's done. They haven't gave him the credit for it, but he is the one. That's going to be a great message, isn't it? Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 4. Now this message is going to really stink compared to that one, I guess. It won't. I just got to get you back to where we were at. There's actually some really good meat in this one that we really need to go over. Paul, you remember that John and Peter have gone up to the temple. They healed through the name of Jesus Christ the man that lay lame at the gate. The man leapt, praise God, and the notable miracle was done. They were brought before the Sanhedrin. Remember that? They preached. 5,000 people were added to the church. Guys, I don't know if I'll ever see 5,000 people added to the church in my whole lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Peter preached 3 messages and 8,000 people were added to the church. His first 3 messages. That's hard to beat. First 3 messages, 8,000 to 15,000 people joined the church. Bam, like that. That's just the men. But here they are in front of the Sanhedrin. They've got him surrounded. But it's literally not that way. The Sanhedrin met in a circle, and they put Peter in the middle. And y'all remember, Peter is the one who denied him 3 times. We talked about the unforeseen failure. Now here Peter is, filled with the Holy Spirit, after the day of Pentecost. Now he's got them surrounded. He's standing in front of that same Sanhedrin that he was so afraid to get away. Oh, I don't want to stand up for Jesus, so they might kill me too. Now he's standing in front of them, and he says in verse 10, he says, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, hallelujah, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He just says, hey, that guy you thought you destroyed on Calvary, he's very much alive and he is still at work. Now it's been multiplied and he's working through us, the church. good God. You know, pretty much he's almost saying, thank you for making the church grow. Amen? Ain't that amazing? Every time in history, if you'll really study this out, every time in history that the devil thought he was going to destroy the church through destroying it, he promotes it and grows it. We're never going to let this book right here, this thing's William Tyndale, this book will never get out of the confines. We'll buy all of them and we'll burn them. Did you know that? William Tyndale printed all the books, all the first Bibles. And the Roman leadership said, we'll buy all the Bibles and destroy them. But do you know one thing? The man who sold them to them charged them like quadruple the cost. Y'all don't know. So what they paid for them, they went and spread them out quadruple. They didn't have enough money to make that many Bibles. They said they went and burned all them, and guess what they did? They multiplied it by the thousands. Okay, y'all are sitting here just like, man, y'all are just a tough group to get a hold of. This is the number one selling book in all of history. Still. We're going to get away. We're going to get rid of that book. Good luck. Amen? It's moving. I like what Anthony just said. It's alive. Very much alive. Now let's get into the verses I came to preach tonight. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. I've never caught that before until I've seen it tonight. Called of you builders. Aren't you glad that men do not get to build the kingdom of God? I love it when people, this is what we're going to do. No, that's what you think you're going to do. But what he said, God builds the kingdom. Amen? Which has become the head of the cornerstone. What they thought they would destroy building religion, God said, what you've done away with, I will promote and make it the cornerstone of every believer's faith. You don't have faith if you don't have Jesus. You don't have anything without Jesus Christ. Can't get into heaven without Jesus. Don't have any operation of the Holy Spirit without Jesus. There's nothing. We don't have a religion of church. We don't have a religion of showing up. We have a religion. We believe, we put our trust and faith, the full trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he done at Calvary. That's it. I don't add to or take away from what Jesus did. I mean, he is my cornerstone. He is my everything. Amen? I don't have to perform for Jesus. He done it all. But he puts the Holy Spirit in me. That way I do perform. Amen? I work from a place of salvation. Amen. That's good preaching. Verse 12, neither, I love this. That's a powerful verse. Here's another powerful verse in here. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, I don't care if you've been saved 40 years. That should do something on the inside of you. If you've got Jesus, you should say, man, thank God I know that. Yeah. I mean, because there's people. Everywhere you go in this life, people somehow think they know what's going on without knowing Jesus. Like, I remember before I got saved, I used to think I knew what church was all about. I tried to go to church without Jesus. Didn't like the Bible, didn't like the music, didn't like the people, didn't like anything about it. Amen. Like their food sometimes, to be honest. But praise God, when I got saved, fell in love with the Word. First thing I fell in love with was Jesus. But the first thing I fell in love with, as far as those go, was the Word of God. That thing become, like, I can remember, I don't know if anybody else felt that way. When I started reading it as a saved man, I kept saying this out loud multiple times. It's in here. The answers are in here. Like, it's an open book test. I've been failing because I didn't have the book open. That was the first thing. And then the music. Man, we get hung up on the music. If y'all know this already, I don't know why God has wired me the way he has. He has wired me so weird. Some of y'all, amen, right there. You had it. I mean, you could have knocked that out of the park. When I get a word, I become oblivious just about everything until I get to share it. It's weird. Like if somebody calls and says, hey, come preach. I know before 11 o'clock, it's almost like the whole world disappears. That message is right there. And I'm sitting here the whole time, God, let me hear one worship song. Let me hear one word of one song that they're singing for you. Because I would love to get in on the worship. But so many times I'm so confounded about the word that I don't hear the worship. And we're sitting here sometimes going, man, this song, that song, this genre, that genre. I was sitting there laughing when somebody said, is that one in the book? I was sitting there thinking, yeah, it's over there in the Hank Williams section of the Red Book Hymnal. That's funny. I don't care where you go to church. That's hilarious. I was like, man, we need to get a hymnal that's just country singing hymnals. Never mind. But I was sitting there thinking, man, have you ever been a part of real worship where none of the music was for you and the song got a hold of God? Like that song you were singing, you liked it. But have you ever sung a song and God liked it? I've been zoned out, sitting in that seat right there, not knowing a thing, and all of a sudden, you felt the Spirit of God, and God said, I like that one. And when He likes it, praise God, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. He comes down. Good God. That's what I like. That's the kind of worship I like. That's the kind of music I like. I like what He likes. Amen. I can get down with any. As long as somebody's prayed, as long as somebody's asked, as long as somebody's trying to reach heaven, I don't care what it is. But once it lands, that's what messages do. I hope some of y'all can tell this. There's a time when I'm preaching, and then there's a time when God's preaching. My dad used to say it this way, the big preacher's here. Amen. That's what he used to say. Big preacher's here. Thank God. Amen. When you get out of the way, when God is pleased, when God is exalted, when God fills the room, then you can get out of the way. Then all that stuff that you want to do for God disappears. You're getting to do it in the presence of God. There's no other name. Guys, we're sitting here tonight, born again, on our way to heaven, because we chose the name of Jesus when it was presented to us, that free gift. And we're so close to Christmas. My God, we're so close to Christmas. Remember when you used to get gifts? I don't know when it ended. I don't know how they do it today. I don't know how. But this is how they did it back in the 80s. 79, 80, 81. Underoos. Right? Me and my brother back in that back bedroom. I mean, they go from 9 o'clock. You get to bed. They put the milk and the cookies out. You get to bed. If you stay up, Santa ain't coming. Don't give me those signs. That's just what they said at my house. We wasn't a religious bunch. Don't you get up. Don't get out of the room. What it was, my dad's going to be in there working all night. And then you get up, you're getting busted. Somewhere about 2 o'clock in the morning after we went through every scenario possible. Y'all don't know. Me and my brother sitting there going, I'm getting help. We're getting a BMX. We're getting a bus. We were poor as dirt. We were thinking everything we could possibly get. We only had one shot. Every year you get one shot. You get one gift. One big one. It's back when the silver tinsel hung all the way down to the ground. Some of y'all are now on the board with me. If you was real good, you had popcorn on the tree. Man, I don't know when it happened. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, when we dozed, you went to sleep. I don't know who it was, probably mold. One of us wake up, the other one's shaking, the other, it's Christmas morning! Dude, I remember my brother got a yellow BMX bike, I got a red BMX bike. It was 3 inches of snow out there, and me and my brother are out in our underoos riding in the countryside of Polk County, Tennessee on a couple of bikes that we didn't even think that was a possibility of getting. Can you believe this? This is amazing! I can see my dad going, boys, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. You need to get in the house. That was probably my mom. My dad was probably like, I don't care what they do. And I'm telling you all that for what? That was one of the greatest gifts I ever opened.
I can remember cutting the living room, running down the hallway, cutting the corner in my living room, seeing that tree. I can put you in that living room. I could tell you what the door looked like. I could tell you what the house looked like. I could tell you what the steps looked like. I could tell you what the road looked like that I rode my bicycle on. August 28th of 04, I opened up a greater gift than that. Jesus Christ, the greatest gift I've ever opened in my life. Wretched and undone. Came and saved my soul when I didn't deserve it. Gave a gift to a rotten man, a wretched man, a sinner. On the worst day of my life, the day I had to admit I was guilty of everything that was against God. I thought I might have deserved that bicycle, but I knew I didn't deserve salvation. And it was like God was sitting there the whole time going, open it up, it's yours, it's free, take it. When somebody says there's no other name under heaven where you might be saved, every once in a while you should shout on the inside, if not on the outside, and say, thank God. Thank God he found me. There's only a few people in this room, but we're the most privileged people on the face of this planet that we can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And we should proclaim it with our last breath and every breath in between if we can. Amen? I read that verse. That's the whole reason I wanted to preach tonight, was to tell you that there is a name. We don't carry our name anymore. And if you ever get a hold of the name of Jesus Christ, man, that's worth living for and worth dying for. When you're laying, someday when you're laying, hopefully it's a long, long time from now, you're laying on your deathbed, praise God, I hope you can look over somebody and say, man, I know Jesus. And living was sweet, but dying is going to be just as sweet because I'm going to see him. Amen? What a sweet name. What a sweet verse. Verse 13. Can I go back to verse 12 and say that one more again? Right there at the very end. Whereby we must be saved. There's not an option. There's no other salvation. You must be saved through Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness. This is a good one too. There's just chock full. This is a good chapter. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Amen. Do you like that? Does anybody see any boldness in you? And listen to why they've seen the boldness. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Hallelujah. They marveled and they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. Good God. Ignorant and unlearned. The only thing they could deduct, the only thing they could reason, the only thing they could come up with is they had spent some time with Jesus. My gosh, man. You don't have to be the smartest person. You don't have to be the most educated person. You need to spend some time with Jesus. That's what you need to do. Some of y'all are wondering, you're trying to think, how can I do better for God? Spend more time with him. If you spend time with him, he will send you doing things for him. Because the more I talk to him, the more he wants me to do. The more I spend trying to figure out more about him, I find out he has a plan for my life and yours as well. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I love this fella. This is the guy that stood outside the gate. They laid him out there every day. He got healed back in the chapter prior. And this guy has just been a key to every door that's happened. You're the people that we kind of pass over sometimes that we don't think that are very important. If you help them find Jesus and they begin to walk and shout and praise and follow Jesus, they will be the key that opens up the next layer of ministry for you. They wouldn't be standing in front of the Sanhedrin glorifying God. 5,000 people wouldn't be saved if they didn't take time to spend with one person on the way to the temple. Some of you need to start looking around. Your ministry's right. It's laying right in front of you most of the time. And so many times we're so busy, we're so fast, we're going somewhere, but we don't pay attention that God has laid somebody right here. And you know what? A lot of times in those situations, you can talk to them about Jesus till their ears fall off because they just want to talk to anybody. Amen. The people that don't want to talk to you about Christ, they'll make it really clear really quick. They've got more stuff than you got to do. Amen. The devil's got to rent them running to and fro too. Amen. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said that last part. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Can't deny what's going on. Can anybody deny what's happened in you and through you? But that it spread no further. I love this. They don't know. But that it spread no further amongst the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Good God, I love it. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Goodness, I love this. We're going to put an end to this. Bring them back in here. And these are the two bold witnesses for Jesus. These are the same guys that ran like scalded dogs when Jesus was taken in the garden. Amen? They're Holy Spirit-filled believers now. They're never going to turn on Jesus ever again. Some of them, we need to make up our mind, God, I'm never going back. I'm never quitting. I'm never giving up. Watch this right here. Never use that name again. Never preach and never speak in the name of Jesus again. I love 19. Y'all ready? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Sorry. Request denied. No. Right? That's good. The miracle has still been worked. The message has been spread. The threat has been levied. They only have two options. Accept the threat or trust God. And you know what they said? I'd rather trust God. I love what he said. We have considered you and we considered God. And you got to make your own judgment for us. We know what we're doing. We're going to continue on the name of Jesus Christ until we die or he returns. That's the only other option we got. Guys, this message, this is not complicated stuff. It wasn't complicated stuff when it started. The gospel's not complicated. The Great Commission's not complicated. It's not hard. It's just hard to do. You know why it's hard to do? Our flesh. Our flesh makes it hard. You know what should override our flesh? What we've seen and what we've heard in Jesus Christ. If what you've experienced in Christ is real, there's nothing that should compare to that. There should nothing. It should override every single time. You should say, I don't want to do this. This scares me to do this, but I'm saved. And God is provoking me to do this. God, you know he'll do that. He provokes you. Amen? Y'all know how that feels. We've either been obedient to it or we've not. But we know what it feels like to write, to be provoked. God will say, speak up. Share with that person. Encourage that person. Do that thing. I love that one. Do that thing. And you sit there and go, I don't have a plan, don't have this, don't have that, don't know how this is going to work out. And God's like, do the plan, do the thing, do it. Amen? 17, 18 years later, every single time, God's good, he's faithful. Amen? It's scary with Jesus. Not hard, not complicated, but scary. But these little increment years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I look back and say, God, I wish I could do a lot more of those. Amen? Because every time God does that, puts you out there, there's something else coming right behind that. There's a person. There's a thing. Amen? I don't want to stretch all that and pull that apart, but I want to say this. That we have got some people in ministry that we can look back on. And when they walked into our lives, some of them were scary. Oh, man, that's a scary. Scary situation. That could hurt us. That could hurt our family. That could hurt everything in our home. Now, looking back at it 10 years, you go, that's a trophy of grace in our life. And without that person or about that thing being in our life, our life would be pretty flat. It would be kind of eventless. Amen? There are some great trophies of grace out there if you'll just walk past that fear, if you'll just step in and do the thing that God's wanting you to do, and you know it in your spirit, in your conscience, in that, hopefully you're born again and the Spirit of God's doing it. But if not, before then, it's your conscience. Amen? Have y'all got help tonight? Does that word resonate with you? Y'all got 1.5 messages. Well, 1 1/4. Let's all stand.